Hi guys, I'm Chef Lin. Welcome back to Rainbow Gastronomy on Left of Straight Podcasts. Today, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite things, wine. Whether you're an enthusiast or just starting to discover the magic of wine, this video is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into this fascinating world. Wine has been enjoyed by people for centuries and is more than just a drink. It's a blend of history, culture, and craftsmanship. I probably don't have to tell you, the winemaking process involves crushing and fermenting grapes, which converts the sugar in the grapes into alcohol. Different types of wine are produced based on the grape variety, region, and winemaking techniques. Wine is great enjoyed on its own, but it's often paired with food to enhance the dining experience. From light and crisp whites to full-bodied reds, wine offers a wide range of options to suit various preferences. While you may think red wine goes with steak and white wine goes with poultry and fish, that isn't necessarily true. I encourage people to drink what they like, no matter what they're eating. You can definitely enjoy a lighter red with chicken or fish and a heartier full-bodied white with a steak. In fact, for Thanksgiving, I almost always pair a Pinot Noir with my turkey. Wine is produced in various regions around the world, each with its own unique characteristics and flavor profiles. In Europe, France is celebrated for its prestigious regions like Bordeaux, Burgundy, and Champagne. Italy boasts famous regions such as Tuscany, Piedmont, and Veneto. Spain is known for Rioja and Ribera del Duero. Moving outside of Europe, California's Napa Valley and Sonoma County are prominent wine regions in the United States. Less known in the US, but also a great producer of wines, is the Finger Lakes region of New York. Australia's Barossa Valley and Margaret River, Argentina's Mendoza, and Chile's Maipo Valley are recognized for their exceptional wines. New Zealand's Marlborough is renowned for its Sauvignon Blanc, while South Africa's Stellenbosch and Cape Winelands produce a diverse range of wines. And that's really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to where wines are produced. Each region offers distinct grape varieties, terroir or soil, and winemaking traditions which contribute to the body, flavor, and aromas of the wine, making wine exploration a fascinating journey around the globe. So here are some tips when shopping for wine. Shop at a dedicated wine store if possible. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with grocery store vino. In fact, I get wine at the grocery all the time. However, a wine shop is likely to have a more varied selection of bottles from smaller producers, as well as a knowledgeable staff to help you choose the perfect wine. Don't use price as an indicator of quality. There are a ton of factors that go into the price of a bottle of wine, and it's not necessarily an indicator of how good the wine will taste. I've had wines that cost well over $60 a bottle that are amazing, but I've also had wines that cost less than $10 a bottle that I've enjoyed just as much. In fact, my go-to wines for drinking at home are Barefoot Sauvignon Blanc, a Magnum bottle for $10, Frontera Cabernet Merlot Blend, a Magnum bottle for $9, and Oakleaf Cabernet, a double Magnum box for $14. Those are Florida prices. Consider the geography. It's not a hard and fast rule, but wines that come from cooler climates tend to be lighter and more acidic than those from warmer climates, which tend to be bigger, bolder, and higher in alcohol. That's because grapes grown in warmer climates produce more natural sugars during the growing season, and sugar converts to alcohol. When in doubt, ask for help. The folks running your local wine store are there for a reason. They love wine, and they're often happy to help. Give specifics if you can, like previous wines you've loved, what you're serving it with, and your budget. Now, let's talk a little about types of wine. Red wine is made from black grapes, and it gets its color, which can range from a light ruby to a deep oxblood from fermenting with the skins. This also imparts tannins, which cause a dry, astringent mouthfeel when you sip a particularly bold red wine. Some examples of red wines are lighter-bodied reds, which have lower alcohol, fewer tannins, and higher acidity, and tend to have red fruit flavors. These are like Pinot Noir and Gamay, which you may know better as Beaujolais. Medium-bodied reds, which have moderate alcohol and tannins, and a blend of red and dark fruit flavors. These are like Grenache, Cote du Rhone, and Merlot. And full-bodied reds, which have higher alcohol, bold tannins, and black fruit and spicy flavors like Cabernet Sauvignon, Malbec, and Syrah. As I said before, pairing wine with food is largely a matter of preference, but here are a few guidelines you can follow if you're just starting out. Bold, full-bodied reds pair well with hearty foods like red meat or slow-cooked rich dishes. Lighter reds are versatile and can pair with pizza, pasta, and even poultry. Red wines are great served at room temperature around, say, 62 to 68 degrees, but lighter-bodied reds like Pinot Noir or Gamay are also great served chilled. On the other hand, white wine can be made from both white and black grapes. However, white wine is fermented without the skins, which is why it's pale in color and has low tannins. It can range from crisp to buttery depending on the wine. When it comes to white wines, you have light-bodied wines, which are crisp, acidic, and can range from citrusy to herbaceous, like Pinot Grigio, Albarino, Sauvignon Blanc, and Vino Verde. And you have full-bodied whites, which are creamier and bolder in flavor, and usually aged in oak, like Chardonnay, Viognier, and Semillon. Now, just like red wine, you can technically pair white wine with anything you please, but it lends itself to seafood and fish, poultry and salty snacks, or spicy dishes. White wine should be served chilled, somewhere around 49 to 55 degrees, but that doesn't have to be exact. Rosé starts like red wine with black grape juice and skins, but the skins are removed after a short period of time, resulting in a blush color, low tannins, and an easy-to-pair flavor. Rosé can be made from any type of black grape, and its exact flavor will depend on the varietal and where it was made. Styles of rosé wines include Provence-style rosés, which are typically very pale pink with a fruity, zesty flavor profile, rosado with a D, which is a Spanish style of rosé that usually deeper pink with a light, fresh flavor, and rosato with a T, which is an Italian-style rosé that ranges from light and delicate to bold, depending on the region it's made in. Rosé can pair with a wide range of foods, depending on its style. Light, crisp rosés play nice with salty or spicy food, cheese, and seafood, while juicier rosés can hold their own when paired with pizza, pasta, and poultry. If you like a sweeter wine, there are plenty of options out there. I mean, I know a lot of people drink Moscatos because they tend to be easily accessible. However, if you're feeling adventurous, think about trying a Riesling or a Gewürztraminer. Finally, sparkling wine is any wine that contains carbonation. It can be white, rosé, or even red, and the bubbles are usually a naturally occurring result of fermentation. All champagne is sparkling wine, however, not all sparkling wine is champagne. Sparkling wines are often known by the region where they are produced. So champagne is sparkling white wine from the Champagne region of France. Now, these are the only sparkling wines that are legally labeled as champagne. Cava is a Spanish sparkling wine. Prosecco, an Italian sparkling wine. There's Lambrusco, which is a delicious red sparkling wine. And finally, of course, there are sparkling rosés. Sparkling wines pair well with cheese, seafood, fresh fruit, and salads. They also pair well with spicy and fatty foods because the bubbles scrub your palate. Sparkling wines should be enjoyed very cold to enhance the effervescence and to keep the bottle from exploding when you open it. Now, when opening a bottle of sparkling wine, you should never point it at anyone. You should keep your hand and maybe a towel over the cork, holding the cork still with the bottle at an angle, and turn the bottle slowly to release the cork. Now, there are other types of wine, but these are the most popular and a good starting point. Now, the last thing I want to touch on is glassware. Some people may think you need specific glasses for red and white wine, but for the everyday wine drinker, that isn't really true. What I do encourage is that you use a glass with a stem. You really want to avoid the warmth of your hand warming the glass and therefore the wine. So when drinking wine, you should technically hold the glass by the stem. But just as with pairing it with food, It's all about your preference. If you want to get more into wines, there are plenty of wine clubs out there you can look into as well. Wine clubs will often create mixed cases you can choose from, as well as offering you the ability to pick from a wide variety of wines in their warehouses. In particular, I like Naked Wines, which I am a member of. They are not sponsoring this episode. Naked Wines works with small wine producers all over the world and offers an amazing selection. And they also offer a money-back guarantee on all of their bottles if you're unhappy with the wine. So if you want to try Naked Wines, you can get a $100 voucher to spend on your first order of $169.99 or more by going to nakedwines.com/invite/Lynn-Wheeler7419. I hope you've enjoyed this little dive into wine and that I've helped you learn something. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Rainbow Gastronomy on the Left of Straight podcasts. As always, you can find me across all social media at Chef Lynn Wheeler. My website is cheflynnwheeler.com, and please check out my YouTube channel, Getting Saucy with Chef Lynn. I'll see you next time. Cheers.